Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We are off and rolling midweek Wednesday, hump day. May 14, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger Gabe Kuhn on @G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That would be Connor Dunning on @C_Dunning929. Connor, what's the word, brother?
What's up, man?
You know what I did this morning?
What did you do this morning?
And into the afternoon, I watched a little bit of the NBA Combine.
Okay.
Interesting. Before I left the house, Tahad Pettiford was putting on a show from Auburn. I have a question. Did Bruce Pearl use him the wrong way, bringing him off the bench and not giving him a bigger role? He had 23 points, 8 assists, 1 turnover. I don't know if you saw this as well, but Yoxel Lindeborg, who potentially, you know, he's going from UAB, transferred and committed at the very least to Michigan, and he's doing his NBA draft thing. There's no way he's going to Michigan, right? He measured in at 6'8½" barefoot, 235 pounds, with a 7'4" wingspan, and he was top 10 in 3-point shooting accuracy at the NBA Combine when he was doing drills. Is there any way he comes back?
He's being projected as a first round
pick. He's of course.
So it would be odd for him to come back.
I honestly think, just looking at his skill set and how well it translates to the NBA, shouldn't he be a late lottery guy? Maybe right after the lottery? Top 20?
I saw him in the 20s.
He seems like a guy that will fit in as a great role player from day one in the National Basketball Association.
As long as he's not playing Dane Danger.
Yeah, that's true. But he won't be. I think that much is clear. But we have 2 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. Short show, obviously. We're going to pass you off to what is a potential closeout game in Knicks versus Celtics. No Jason Tatum. I know it's going to be at TD Garden. I understand all that. But Game 5 is being played tonight. We're looking for a gentleman's sweep from the Knicks. But that will be right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about what we watched last night. Cavs are being sent home. We have plenty to get to there. When we look at the teams that are up in their series, by the way, Connor, three of the four teams have never won a championship. And three of the four teams, besides the Knicks, obviously, small market, right? Small NBA markets. I think we need to discuss that in overreaction, not in overreaction. We have some Derrick Henry news as well to get to the NFL schedule release. Is it not the most overrated thing ever?
The NFL schedule release?
Yeah, why do we make a big deal out of it? It doesn't do anything.
I've never really understood why the schedule release in any sport's a huge deal. Yeah, they're playing games, and they're playing the same teams they play every year.
I know. We have more prime time. We have Christmas Day games and Thanksgiving Day games, and we have the international circuit, that whole thing. But we know who six of their opponents are going to be. We know who their crossover opponents are going to be based on division in the other conference. So I don't know why we make this big deal. But the NFL schedule release is going to be on ESPN and ESPN2 tonight at 7 p.m. I will tell you this. I'll catch up with it on Twitter like everyone else. That's the way I will catch up with the NFL schedule release. It's kind of funny, though, too, because before we actually get to the full-on schedule release, they release and leak all of the games of consequence that we don't know about.
Correct.
So it's like, why do we even have a show for it?
Right, I understand.
What's the point? I guess anything to make money for the NFL, you know, that's what they want to go for. Like, but you leak all of the games that we actually have questions about before we get to the made for TV event. It's strange how they do it.
The games on holidays, opening night, things like that, those are the games I look forward to seeing. Okay, which teams are going to be matched up? Who got the holidays? But the regular every Sunday games, I'm like, okay, cool.
The only thing we don't know about is one of the international games. The Chargers will be playing a team that will be announced tonight at 7 p.m. in week one in Sao Paulo. That's the only thing we don't know about when it comes to the games of consequence and the games that are hyped up, prime time, that the NFL wants to you know, get us all tuned in for. But everything else, we know. It's just weird. It's bizarre. But, yeah, as far as guests are concerned, 4:30 coming up, bottom half of this hour, Jim Turner, Showboat's head coach, as he normally joins on a Wednesday. We'll talk about the rest of the season, what his goals are, since they're basically out of playoff contention. And then at 5 o'clock, David Kopp will join from CBS Sports per normal. And then we'll get you out of here before we get you to Knicks versus Celtics Game 5, potential closeout opportunity for the Knicks. We'll get to small talk. And interesting story out of L.A., Menendez brothers. We have some Menendez brothers news.
I saw.
Yeah, that's something. But you know how we open every Wednesday? It's with overreaction, not an overreaction.
The Cleveland Cavaliers have officially been sent home after their 114-105 loss at the hands of the Indiana Pacers. Cavs point guard Donovan Mitchell spoke to the media today about yet another second-round exit. Here's what he had to say. He also added that he believes the Cavs will be back. Mitchell has yet to make a conference final. So my question to you, Gabe, is the Cavs will be back. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction. I think they'll be back in the second round with a chance to get to the conference finals. I think that's very much on the table. They were a 64-win team. They started the season on a 16-game winning streak. A couple of stats, though, regarding what we have just seen, Cavs getting knocked out. The Cavs are the first team in MLB, NBA, NFL, or NHL history to start a season with a 15-plus game unbeaten streak, then be eliminated from the playoffs prior to the championship round that year. They're the first team to have that good of a start and then flail around, not make the conference finals. And then also, this one is just staggering. The Cavs against the rest of the NBA at home were 36-5. The Cavs against the Pacers at home this season, 0-5. 0-5. That's absolutely insane. Now, one thing I want to plead with people, beg people not to do, and I already saw Kendrick Perkins do it last night. I understand the sentiment because we have a long runway of Donovan Mitchell getting knocked out in the second round, not making a conference finals. But don't make this a Donovan Mitchell has never been to a conference finals thing, please. I'm more interested in what you can do going forward to put better pieces around him to get him to a conference finals. I also am of the opinion, I've always been of the opinion, Donovan Mitchell's probably better served as a number two on a team as opposed to a number one. You got to surround him with good talent, good role players, similar to what they had with the Cavs this year, but he was very much a number one. And also, I think Kendrick Perkins called this season a failure. I'm tired of that mindset, Connor. I don't know about you. I'm tired of if you don't win a championship, it's a failure. Did anyone have any thoughts? Did people really think the Cavs were going to go win an NBA championship this year? I know they were the number one seed in the East, and I know they had an opportunity, and they looked unbelievable during the regular season. But they were way down the list of odds with odds makers and sports books. I still feel like people were leaning toward the Celtics or the Knicks over a team like the Cavs. So it's hard for me to just sit here and say this is a failure.
I don't think it was a failure. I think we've got to start using the word disappointment again.
Sure, sure.
We have to start the word disappointment again. It was a disappointing ending for the Cleveland Cavaliers. If they were fully healthy.
There are reasons why it was,
right,
too.
If they were fully healthy and they lost like they did to the Pacers, then maybe you could have a conversation about whether or not the playoffs were a failure for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But the truth is, Donovan Mitchell was hurt. Darius Garland was hurt. DeAndre Hunter was hurt, and Evan Mobley was hurt. That's four of their best six guys were injured for this series. So it was a disappointing end for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But their season as a whole, it was absolutely a success. They won 64 games. They were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Evan Mobley won Defensive Player of the Year. Your coach won Coach of the Year. That is a successful NBA season.
Yeah.
You had a disappointing ending, but that does not mean the season as a whole was a failure. I also tend to agree with Donovan Mitchell. The Cleveland Cavaliers are going to have to make decisions soon when it comes to money, but they don't have to make those decisions yet. There are a couple questions about whether or not Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell can take you to the promised land because of their size with the point guard and shooting guard and their defensive ability. But when they are clicking on all cylinders, their offense is very, very good. And I think that Donovan Mitchell deserves a lot of credit for the way he played in these playoffs.
Yes.
He was fantastic. He put the team on his back. He did damn near everything he could. He gutted out that game last night. He was fantastic down the stretch. I know he missed a couple of free throws, but then he hit that huge three when you could tell that he was barely able to walk on that ankle. It was really bothering him. So if I were the Cleveland Cavaliers, I would say we need to run this thing back again, maybe make a couple moves around the margins if you can. But ultimately, if this team was fully healthy, I think they probably would have made a little bit more noise.
Yes.
The Pacers may have ultimately beaten them, but it wouldn't have been 4-1.
There's nuance to why they got knocked out. For games 1 and 2, you didn't have Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and DeAndre Hunter at full strength. And putting this all on Donovan Mitchell just seems insane to me. Like, it's just pure insanity.
It's silly.
If you watch the series, you know that Donovan Mitchell was giving it his all. There was just nothing really around him when the injuries were there. And then Darius Garland came back. You could tell he was maybe 50%. That toe was still bothering him. I'll get to him in a second. But Donovan Mitchell, let's remember, in this series and in the playoffs, averaged 34 points per game.
Like, he was great.
That's pretty damn good. That's at the top of the leaderboards for playoff basketball right this second as we sit here today. So I'm just bothered by the constant narrative creating that we throw out there. I do think, to your point that you just made about Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, that's not a good defensive backcourt. And I think we're running into a little bit of what we ran into at the end of the Trailblazers, contending window, where you had Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum next to each other. They were very good offensively, very good duo, but in the end of the day, they could get exposed on the defensive end once you got into playoff basketball, got into more half-court sets. It's just, that's what I think you're running into with Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. But, for Donovan Mitchell and this Cavs team, I'm interested to see what they do going forward. What can you do to yield better results? And to Darius Garland, I think he's a good player, and I think the injury certainly affected him. But he was bad. He was really bad down the stretch of that series.
He was bad.
Last three games, he had under 15 points. Not efficient. Wasn't spreading the ball around like he normally does. He was clearly limited. Horrible on defense after he talked trash about Tyler Hero in that Heat series. The Cavs can absolutely, to your point, run it back. But that's going to cost some money, Connor. I was reading a John Hollinger piece in the Athletic. With just the 10 guys that they have under contract going into 2026, they're already $27 million over the luxury tax line. And the tax aprons with the new CBA, it's exacerbated that question of, do we run it back or do we retool and try to make another run for it? The problem is, if you wait too long, if you're the Cavs and wait two more years, staying over the luxury tax, staying over the second apron, you could have a nine-figure luxury tax bill and frozen draft picks in the 2030s, first-round draft picks. But also, if you give in to the CBA, you aren't seeing through what you actually built to get to this point. So the new CBA, I know it's put in place to create parity and to get a new champion every year and to make teams work around the margins, that type of thing. But at the same time, I feel like it unfairly punishes teams who draft, trade, and develop in a very good way. I don't think the Celtics need to be punished for how well they've put together that team. I don't think the Cavs need to be punished for how well they've put together that team. It's just frustrating to see a team like the Cavs, who I think if you give them a couple more years with this iteration, they could probably make some noise, make an Eastern Conference Finals. Feels like they may have to blow it up before we actually get to that point.
The CBA is terrible. It's awful. It holds back so many teams. It makes it difficult for so many teams to truly compete. Because like you said, some of these smaller markets, when they actually have to pay up, it can be difficult for them because the penalties can be severe, and they just really shouldn't be that severe. No. It's odd that you can have draft picks frozen because you want to have a competitive basketball team. That just doesn't make any sense.
Think about $100 million tax bill after a 2-year period. Yeah, that's insane. 100+
million. This Cavs team probably has 1 year left.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Then you have to make real
decisions.
You've
got one more year where you could run this thing back and see what happens. You got 1 year because then you have to start paying guys.
Look, Donovan Mitchell's highly paid. Darius Garland has 3 years worth $167 million left on his deal. Evan Mobley just won Defensive Player of the Year, so he has an escalator that allows him to get paid 30%.
That's the one.
Of the cap, and you're sitting there like, well, I know he already has the contract and he's going to get paid that. Is he fully worth that? I like Evan Mobley. He's an all-star. He's great. He's a defensive player of the year. He's awesome on both ends of the floor. But, you know, that really handcuffs you as a franchise.
Now, realistically.
And Jared Allen's highly paid. Let's not forget about him.
Realistically, they're probably going to try to move Garland. If I had to.
I think that's the right move,
I think there's two things are going to happen with the Cavs. They either try to run this thing back with that group of four guys, or they try to trade Darius Garland. He seemed like the obvious one because Jared Allen and Evan Mobley have figured out how to play together, and they're so important to what they do. And Donovan Mitchell needs to be on that team.
Yes.
Donovan Mitchell can help you win.
Does he need to be more efficient game to game? Yes.
He hasn't made a conference finals. I know. But Donovan Mitchell gives you a puncher's chance, especially when you're in the Eastern Conference, and what it might look like next season. The Celtics are going to be
it's
down.
It's open.
The Knicks are going to be there. The Pacers are going to be there. We have no idea what Milwaukee's going to look like. Detroit's up and coming, so they're going to be plucking around. But the Cavs have a chance to be the number one seed again next year. The Magic,
we'll see.
They just got to find some shooting and a point guard. Oh, my God. Get that team a point guard and find them some shooting. Then they could be potentially dangerous. It's kind of wide open in the Eastern Conference. So if you have the team already built this way, try to improve it, and the way you could probably improve it is figuring out what to do with Darius Garland. Because Donovan Mitchell's your point guard.
Yes.
Really.
I wish Donovan Mitchell was better at facilitating offense, although he can do that from game to game. He's more of a score-first point guard. We understand that part of him. But I think you need a probably bigger-bodied, more defensively inclined guy to pair with Donovan Mitchell. That's what you need. Darius Garland, I think, is a great player. I think he could help other teams more than he's helping the Cavs right now.
Yeah.
He is paid very handsomely, too handsomely, for the type of tax situation they're in right now.
Like
Three years, $167 million for that guy to pair with Donovan Mitchell is just too much.
Could there be a Suggs for Garland type of move between the Cavs and the Magic, something like that?
That's not a bad thought. Obviously, you have to make the money work.
Right. I don't know if the money. It just popped in my head.
The money one for one does not work. Garland is high, way higher paid.
I think Suggs makes a good bit, but it may not match.
You have to find a way.
Holy crap! Suggs makes 5-year, 150.
Yeah.
Okay. $30 million each.
Yeah. So I don't know. We're gonna have to see what they decide to do because they're going to have to. Every other team that's right there on the precipice that doesn't actually win a championship, they're like every other team in the fact that you have to find ways to maneuver around the new CBA.
Yeah.
The more and more I've seen the CBA, I get the parity, and I think that the NBA has done a good job of creating parity. We have five straight different champions. And
well, we're about to talk
all
about
these different things. Like, we have all these, you know, small markets are thriving like we're about to talk about. But at the same time, I just feel like the punishment for teams being very good is too much. When you draft and develop and build a good roster, you shouldn't be punished this much.
Yeah. Darius Garland also has a trade kicker, it looks like. So it would be, you'd have to figure out the money with a Garland move. But if they're going to improve anywhere, it would be that. Now, speaking of small market teams, three of the four teams that are likely to win their current series are small market teams that have never won a title. The Pacers, the Timberwolves, and the Thunder. This is a good thing for the NBA. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Okay, this is a easy answer for me, but I think we could, you know, aim it a different way and make it not an overreaction. This is an overreaction to me. The NBA has thrived off of large markets and marketable superstars in those large markets. That's always what they've done. That's always what they've done. So, like, I really struggle with the idea that, you know, for example, a Thunder Pacers finals is something that the NBA would love. I don't think that would get a lot of eyeballs unless you're a you know, staunch NBA supporter and you like watching the product. I don't think that the star power with Tyrese Halliburton or, you know, SGA, all these guys, I don't know if it's big enough to really grab casual NBA eyeballs, which is what the NBA has always strived to do. So, no, I don't think this is good for the NBA. Now, if you ask me a different question and you said,
is it good for basketball? Or is it good for the Grizzlies?
Is it good for the Grizzlies? I'd say not an overreaction. This just shows that the ability for small markets to thrive, to get to conference finals, to get to finals, to make that championship step, it's easier and better than it ever has been for small markets. So there's some give and take to this being in the city of Memphis. I don't think the NBA loves the fact that you have a bunch of small market teams in the conference finals. But at the same time, I think small market teams look at that as an example of, guys, we can do this. It's easier than it ever has been for us to do this.
I think it's bad for NBA business.
Yes,
but
correct.
It's good for basketball.
Okay.
It's good for small markets. And for basketball sickos, I think it's a good thing.
Yes.
But when it comes to
good,
the business of the NBA, like you were saying,
the
NBA isn't super pleased by this. They aren't happy that the Celtics got injured. They aren't happy that some of the major teams in the major cities just aren't competing right now. That, like, they want Golden State to be more competitive. They wanted Houston to be more competitive. They wanted these bigger markets to be in the conference finals. But it is truly looking like all four teams that you're going to have, or all three of the four teams besides the Knicks, are going to be more small market teams. And real quick, I can already hear people screaming at us, well, the Sonics won a championship. We're not counting the Supersonics championship for the Thunder. We are not counting that by any means. You can't steal a team from a city and then claim their title. So that does not count. And the Knicks haven't won since 1973. So you're going to have a new NBA champion that hasn't won in a very long time.
And also for the sixth straight year.
Right. But I do think that it shows that small market teams, if you stay consistent, you make moves around the margins, you make sure you have a star player, you can get things done. The new CBA certainly makes it more difficult, and you have to be willing to pay a tax. One of the lessons that will be learned from this that the Grizzlies, Robert Pera, Zach Kleiman have to take from this is if you pay that tax, if you pay some penalty, you can win basketball games, but you have to do that.
Yes.
You're not going to be able to get to the tier that you need to get to be truly competitive if you're just going to try to work around the margins. You've got Bane, you got Ja, you got Jaren. Go make some moves that can truly make this team competitive.
Unless you maneuver as well as Sam Presti has and have all those picks and all of those.
They still went out and paid Hartenstein. Yeah, they overpaid for Hartenstein.
True, and Lou Dort has a big contract.
Lou Dort has a big contract. They went and got Alex Caruso.
You still have J-Dub on a rookie deal. Still have Chet there. So it's like, you know, you still have not gotten to that point. Once they have to pay everybody, it's going to get ugly for them. It's going to get really tough for them to maneuver.
They've done a good job of paying guys.
The CBA, this is what I will say. I think it cuts both ways. Because it doesn't allow the Lakers and the Celtics to hoard all the superstar and great talent.
Sure.
Some of that talent trickles down truly to the Pacers, to a team like the Grizzlies, to a team like the Magic. Those
looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Types of teams. So it does cut a little bit both ways. It's difficult to maneuver if you're in the Grizzlies' positions with those three high-paid stars with Ja, Jaren, and Dez. But at the same time, I feel like because of the CBA and the parity that's been created, you can also look at the big markets, the large markets, and see that they're not able to sustain the same way that they used to in the past. That sort of dynastic run, I'm not going to say the dynastic run is over, but I don't know when the next time we're going to see sort of a dynasty be created, maybe the Thunder over the next few years, but eventually
maybe
they're going to have to blow that up because of the luxury tax bill that they're going to have when they pay J-Dub and Chet and all those guys.
Yeah, and that's why it's going to be a really interesting conference finals. And for me, as an NBA sicko, I love it. I love the teams that are left. I think it's going to be a ton of fun. I do think the NBA's nightmare scenario is Pacers Thunder.
And know what they do want? They want Timberwolves Knicks.
I think they want Timberwolves Knicks. You have a giant market, one of the biggest markets, one of the best fan bases, a historic team in the NBA versus an up and coming superstar face of the NBA.
And the trade and Carl Anthony Towns on one side, Dante DiVincenzo, Villanova, former Villanova Nick on the other side. So that's what they want. I don't know if they're going to get that, but that's ultimately what they would pray for, considering the teams that are in this position.
Right, because I understand that Oklahoma City has the player who is probably going to win the MVP, but is that series exciting at all? Pacers Thunder? No, they are rooting against that. They absolutely want the Knicks to be in it. So I think the NBA doesn't like it, but for basketball and for small markets, I think that it is a sign that if you stick to this thing and you make the right moves and you are willing to pay a little bit.
Yep.
You can get there.
Yep.
You can absolutely get there. Okay, next up. Derrick Henry has signed a 2-year, $30 million extension with the Baltimore Ravens. He ran for 1,921 yards and 16 touchdowns a year ago. The 1,921 yards were a record among NFL running backs at 30-plus years of age. Derrick Henry is the only current running back that has a Hall of Fame case. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Also, this is the largest extension deal or deal in general for a running back over 30 years of age. It's going to be 31 going into next year. We know, in this day and age of the NFL, it's really hard for running backs to stick around, but Derrick Henry's done it better than just about anybody in the modern era. I'm going to say overreaction. I think he's the no-doubt guy at the running back position in the NFL. There's one name in particular that you have to mention because he's got more runway with a good team. He's got the extension. He's going to be there for a couple more years, and he's likely to get Pro Bowls and All-Pros and maybe another Super Bowl. Saquon Barkley's the other guy that you have to look at and mention his name in this conversation. Now, do I think he has enough right this second? 3 Pro Bowls, an All-Pro, and a Super Bowl. I don't know if that's quite enough, but he's going to be 28. It looks like he's not slowing down in any meaningful way. He ran for 2,005 yards last year. I think that Saquon Barkley is the other guy that has emerged. And really, if he never went to the Eagles, we're not talking about Saquon Barkley in this conversation.
No, the ring changes it.
But the ring and the historic season he had a year ago, leading the NFL in rushing, I think that's where you have to put Saquon Barkley in this conversation. But I think the no doubt one, without question, doesn't really have to do much more work to get there, is Derrick Henry. Been on all-pro list a million times. We know he's been in the Pro Bowl several times, led the league in rushing twice. He's got it, even though he doesn't have a Super Bowl championship. There's one other name that I don't think can do enough work, but we'll see, you know, like if he's going to be borderline by the time we get there. And some people may do a deep sigh when I bring up this name. But Zeke Elliott would probably be third among active NFL running backs, right, in regards to Hall of Fame chances. Even though I don't think he's there, and I don't think he's ever going to get there because he's slowed down so drastically, and he's not really performing at a high level, even though he's only 30. But, I mean, this is a guy who led the league in rushing twice, three-time Pro Bowler, Rookie of the Year, been on the All-Pro list a couple of times, one-time first-team All-Pro. He's the other guy that you would look at, but I don't know if he has enough left in the tank to have another good year to put himself over the top. But I think Saquon Barkley, the reason I call this an overreaction and that Derrick Henry's not the only guy, I think Saquon Barkley.
I totally agree. Where do you think Derrick Henry ranks for NFL fans outside of their own team as guys who you want to see get a ring?
Ooh, gosh, that's a great question.
He feels like he might be at the top of the list.
Josh Allen would have to sort of be at the top of that list, right? He seems like he's sort of overwhelmingly
I feel like Henry would be ahead of him, though, because of where he is in his career. Like, we think Allen's going to have...
He's got some runway.
Got some runway.
I think he could... I mean, you're throwing me on the spot.
I'm sure there's some linemen that I might be forgetting.
No, sure, like, but we're talking about more skill positions.
Right.
You know, household names.
Guys you want to see get a ring.
I think Derrick Henry would probably be at the top of that list. Seems well-liked by everybody.
Right. I don't know if there's a single NFL fan that doesn't like Derrick Henry.
But I think Josh Allen, you know, even though he's younger and has more runway,
he's got
Haley
Steinfeld. He's fine.
But I think there's a lot of people that still want to see Josh get through, beat the Chiefs
I do think Lamar's up there.
Yeah.
I want to see Lamar Jackson get one.
I don't know.
I think some people have dug in so hard on him that they're never going to
And he does not. I mean, he by the numbers in the playoffs has disappeared in his career. Has not looked very good in the playoffs. So I think that's something that's held over his head, and people have turned away from him because of that. But yeah, I think Derrick Henry would probably be at the top of that list. I think that's fair. And how many more years does he have, Connor? Because
that's why I think it's so.
Last year
we need to get this dude a ring.
Well, but the thing is, no. What I'm trying to make a point of is it feels like after last year, he played 17 games, ran for 1,921 yards, 16 touchdowns, 18 touchdowns total when you add his receiving. Like, this was a just getting back to where he was in his prime. I know that you can only take so many hits throughout your career, and I know that the life of a running back has shortened and shortened and shortened as long as we've played NFL football. But I don't know. It feels like, based off last year, he may have 3-4 more years of runway to add to this resume and potentially add a Super Bowl.
That'd be awesome. He's definitely at the top of my list, though, for people I want to see win a ring.
I think Josh Allen and him probably top that list for most NFL fans.
Because I'm looking through the teams right now, and, you know, I think Matt Stafford for a while was one of those guys, but he got his ring.
Yeah.
And there's definitely nobody on the team.
Matt Stafford was definitely one of those guys because of how nasty the Detroit situation was for so long.
Right.
And how he just never had a chance. Even though he willed them to the playoffs. Him and Calvin Johnson willed them to the playoffs a few times. Just never had a realistic shot at it. But yeah, I think that's an interesting question. Interesting question. All right, now we need to ask some interesting questions on the other side. We bring on Showboat's head coach, Jim Turner. Make sure you stick around. Jim Turner is the head coach of the Memphis Showboats on X at @Jim_OL. Jim, pleased to be joined by you. How are you?
Great. Doing great, man. How you doing? All right?
I am doing well. How has practice been? You have a Friday game. I know it's kind of quick turnaround. Who planned the schedule like that?
Well, you know, That's just the way it is. I mean, you know, you in the NFL, you play on Sunday, and then you go and play on a Thursday, and I've done that numerous times. And so this is, we actually have an extra day from that. So we obviously condensed the week down. We had one major practice, which was yesterday. Then we had our walkthrough practice half speed today. And then tomorrow we'll do very little and get on the bus and get out there and play the game. So,
yep. How are you guys holding up injury wise with the short week?
I mean, we're doing well. You know, Zeke Vandenberg last week, he was a little banged up, but he's come out of it well. And then on offense, I mean, Wes Hills will be out, and that's a big one for us. But you know, that's just the way this game is. And so we have to deal with that. But then Eric Prince has done a great job. And then of course Jackson will come up and he'll play, he'll be the other running back, and he's done a good job for us this year as well. So mm-hmm. We're fine injury wise.
Yep. Now we've talked about this in the past, and we know that, players in the UFL, they have one goal in mind, and it's getting back to, the National Football League, of course, wins along the way and, you know, playoff football is always great. You guys were officially eliminated from the playoffs with that loss last week. Has anything changed within the locker room when it comes to what you're playing for, how you guys are playing, and sort of managing that part of it?
Well, you know, with all the upheaval this season, right, I told them this the day that I – the second time I got the job, I told them, I said, listen, I said, if you take one thing from me, it's this. I said, Mike Sherman described me this way one time. He said, you know, whether we're 1-10 or 10-1, and whether we win by 20 or lose by 20, he goes, every day you come to work, you're the same guy.
Yep.
And I said, that's what I do. That's what I'm always going to do. And I said, and I really advise you, I said, if you want to be a professional in this world or make it in any business, I said, be the same person every day. Go to work and give everything you got. And don't, you know, if you're not getting what you want, you don't walk around with a frown on your face. You know what I mean? You fight to get what you want, and you work at things and you communicate with people and all that. And so that's how I handle it. When I show up on Monday, you know, after the game, it's tough. But when I show up and we were at work, I'm immediately on to the next game, and I don't blink an eye. And the team seems to take on the same attitude. So you wouldn't know it if you were at our practice. I mean, like today, I mean, they were running around the practice.
Right.
Yesterday, they were running around the practice field. They have no. You wouldn't know if we would. You'd think we were 12-0. I mean, so you really just, you know, it's a good group of guys. They understand, you know, that you got to be a professional and you got to move on.
Mm-hmm. Now, you brought up Mike Sherman. How much of an impact did he have on you throughout your coaching career? I know you had stops with him at A&M and elsewhere. How much of an impact did he have?
Well, he's been the ultimate impact for me, right, because he gave me my start. And he's a great football coach and a great offensive mind and really good at personnel and how to deal with personnel and how to find the right players, you know, and to have a system of finding the right players. So he taught me a lot, you know, just my recruiting. You know, me and him, when we were at Texas A&M, you know, we're credited. I was credited with 6 first-round draft picks.
Yeah. So, was it Ogbuehi? You would have had Jokel. Was it who else? Matthews?
Yep, Jokel, Matthews, Cedric Abay, Jermaine Ifedi.
Yes. I played with his brother, by the way, at the University of Memphis, Martin Ifedi.
That's right. I remember interviewing him at the school.
Right.
And him talking about his brother, you know. So, yeah, me and Mike, we had a great – and a lot of that was Mike. A lot of that wasn't me. A lot of that was Mike. And because of his – you know, he was highly involved with recruiting and all that and just highly involved with everything to do with that team. So, yeah, he had a great impact on me. And of course, I'm forever indebted to him for that.
So, did you have any crosses there with Johnny Football when you were at A&M?
Yeah, so imagine this, right? So I recruited Mike Evans.
Right. Nice.
Receiver, nice. Right? And so Tom Rochley recruited. Tom was our coordinator. He was also with Mike in Green Bay for years. He was a coordinator with Brett Favre there in Green Bay. And so he recruited Johnny Football, him and, of course, Mike. And so that's why Johnny was Mike Sherman's recruit.
Yeah.
Right? So him and Mike Evans and 5 first-round draft pick offensive linemen. So when we left that building, we left Johnny, Mike, and 5 first-round draft pick offensive linemen.
That's absolutely nuts. How insane is it, though, to look at where Mike is at in his career? Probably first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, considering you saw him at the very beginning out of high school. I mean, this is...
That's right.
It's insane.
Okay, so listen to this one. So his coach calls me on the telephone, right? Coach Suggs down in... where is it? Galveston. So Galveston Ball High School. And he calls me on the phone and he says, "Hey, coach, I got a player down here. He's never played a snap of football, but he's a senior and he's a hell of a basketball player, right?" And so I said, "Yeah, coach," right? And when I said, "Yeah, coach," I kind of like, I didn't even give it a thought. I'm like, "Yeah, I'll go down because I respect the guy. So I'm going to go down there." So he runs a couple of routes for me. I see him out there, but he's never played a snap of football. So I'm like, and the funny thing about Mike is he looked then like he does today. So he looked like he was 30 years old then, right? So when you look at him, I'm saying, well, he's a stud. There's no question about that. And so I went and watched him play basketball. He's an absolute stud. Well, the bottom line happened like this. So I leave there that day. They play their season that season. We play our season. Well, they don't win a game. Mike catches 9 balls the whole year. Right, so he's not getting recruited by anybody. There's no one interested. He's not getting anything thrown to him. It's awful, right? So, and then I play at A&M that year. We're playing in the Cotton Bowl, right? So I'm coaching at A&M. So we're playing in the Cotton Bowl. So Mike Sherman, right before the Cotton Bowl game, says, "Hey, we just lost a recruit. We lost a receiver." He said, "Does anybody have a receiver?" I put my hand up. You know, every coach is sitting around the staff table. And I said, "Yeah, cool. I got Mike Evans." So we put the videotape on, and he's like, "Yeah, he's only got 9 catches." I'm like, "Yeah, he's only got 9 catches. That's it." So we're like, "Yeah, we can't offer him." So I get on the phone with his coach because we're practicing in the bubble at A&M the next day, and I get on the phone with his coach, and I said, "Coach Suggs," I said, "listen to me. Mike Sherman is an NFL coach." I said, "When he sees, if he sees Mike, I swear to you, he'll offer him." I go, "Take a day off from school on Monday and drive the kid up here." And I said, "I guarantee you," I said, "I'll buy you 1,000 dinners if I'm wrong." I said, "But I'm telling you right now, he's going to offer him." So, well, the coach does it. He drives him up. The kid comes into the bubble. Our whole team's in there, right? And Mike is a man, right? So when he comes in the bubble, now he lives in Galveston Ball. He got nothing. He comes from zero, right? And so he walks in the bubble. He's never seen anything like it. And so he starts hopping around, you know, like he does if he scores a touchdown.
Hyped up, yeah.
And so all the kids, everybody's looking, and they're like, "Who is this guy?" Right? And I see him hyped up, and I see him hopping around. I'm like, "Holy smokes!" Right? So it was just a great scene. It was like, it looked like a 5-year-old kid on Christmas morning coming down to see the gifts. Right?
Right.
And so Mike Sherman looks over and he says, "Is that him?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Offer that kid right now."
Did he even see him run a route? Or did he just see him hop around excited? That's it?
He saw the tape and he knew, you know, everything that I told him on. And then right there, right after he saw him, he's like, "Jesus Christ, offer that kid right now."
Well, that's awesome. You guys brought it in. Jake Matthews has been doing it for years and years and years, of course, from the Matthews family, all that. I mean, he's been around the block a few times. Still with the same team, right?
Yep, we had Kevin, the older brother, and then, of course, then with Jake, and then I recruited the younger brother, Mike, as well.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
At center, played center for you guys.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you go into the Matthews family house, right? I mean, I remember when I was in there recruiting Jake, the youngest one, he walked up. He was 9 years old. And he had like a, I forget what he had, but he said something. He was talking to his dad. He's like, "Yeah, Dad, I just shot that gator out there, that 7-footer." And I was like, I looked at him and I said, "We're going to offer him right now, too."
Right, right.
You know, because obviously, and you look at the dad, right? Like the dad, you could drive the dad, you could drive over him with a pickup truck, and he would get up, and I swear to God, he'd brush it off and be like, "What was the, you know?" When you look at the whole family, that's how they're built. I mean, it's right. Just they're studs, absolute studs.
Yeah. Did you have any, before we move off of this and talk about, you know, coming up on Friday, did you have any, you know, moments with Johnny Football, or were you out of there for his era?
Yeah, so I was out of there, but we were together for a year.
Yeah.
And so, but I'll be honest with you, like the kid, like I know the kid now, right? I mean,
sure.
You know, so when I see him, if I see him, I say hi to him, all that stuff. He's a good kid, man, you know, and everybody tortures the poor kid. And I know, and he'll admit that, you know, he has his downfalls, just like we all have our downfalls, right? But, and his is just more, they're more public because everybody's looking at the kid. But it's not his fault he got picked in the first round by the Browns.
Right, right.
But that's what I say to people out there. They say, "Oh, geez, these guys do all this stuff." I said, "Listen to me, he's a human being. He is who he is." I said, "It's not his fault that they picked him
he
in the first round.
He got lost in the sauce. He ain't the first one to get lost in the sauce."
That's right. That's right. You know, he was a good kid. He made some mistakes, but was a good kid.
Yeah, for sure. All right, now coming up on Friday, you have a game against the San Antonio Brahmas. What type of challenges are they going to bring you guys, and how do you guys plan on overcoming them?
Well, the big thing for me is, you know, like I enjoyed watching their last game against Washington. It was a great football game, and you know, I watched it live, and their quarterback he's really come a long way, Kevin Hogan. He's done a really good job. And I know Kellen Mond. We knew Kellen Mond. Me and,
yep.
and Noel, we had Kellen Mond at A&M. And then Kellen stayed with me that first year with Jimbo when we beat LSU in the big game, the 74-72 game. So we know those quarterbacks. I think, you know, I think Mond is a heck of a player. But it's happened that now that Hogan's the player, and I think he's done a good – the last game I saw, he really did a good job at distributing the ball. He really put them in a position to win the game late in the game. They ran the ball well with Deshaun Corbin. I know they have Robbins and McFarlane there playing running back as well. So they have a real good, you know, and Corbin, he can go the distance. Like, he can take a ball and he can go 80 yards running the football. So, and I forget how long the run was last week, but it was at least a 50-yard run, and he took it to the house. So, you know, and they got a good core receivers. They have a very good offensive line. So they're going to do a good job. I think their center, Tecklenburg, is an excellent player and from Baylor. So I really, I'm really impressed with them that way. And then on defense, you know, they have just a sound defense. It's not a flashy defense. It's a lot of blue-collar guys, my type of guys. So Emeli, Sykes, Jones up front, Nelson. You know, Emeli, Prince Emeli, number 98. I mean, you know, he's got four tackles for losses. And when you watch it, like you watch him against Washington, they're a good line. I mean, if I watch their line, I think they have one of the best lines in the league. And he really did a great job trying to shut down the run. He had a couple tackle for losses in that game. So they do a solid job on defense. And I know they'll be ready to play us. They'll be fired up. you know, the records don't mean anything. I think they showed it against Washington, right? I mean, they're one play away from winning that game. We're one play away from winning the game.
Yep. So
it's going to be a good football game. I'm really excited about it.
Yes, sir. We're excited about it as well, and we'll be watching. Jim, I appreciate you carving out some time. We'll do it again next week.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. He is Jim Turner, head coach of the Memphis Showboats on X at @JimTurner_OL. That is kind of wild to look back at his Texas A&M days with Mike Sherman. Six different guys they recruited became first-round picks. And the story about Mike Evans, I wasn't familiar with his high school to college sort of transition. Never had played football, had 9 catches his senior year. I mean, that explains why he got so much better year after year at A&M and ultimately in the NFL.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal story.
Right. I mean, he said, you show up and show that you're 6'6", 215 pounds, and you jump high, he'll offer you. Didn't even have to run a route. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. But very happy that Jim could carve out a little bit of time. Now, we need to go ahead and get into hour number two, and David Cobb from CBS Sports will join right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.